This is a world where an ardent heart and a sharp mind can meet and reach a perfect balance. Serene, sovereign, with a beat of its own. Every movement foreseen, conceived, rehearsed to the very last detail. So that when the time is right, when the fickleness of the elements has been factored in, and the absolute focus of the mind instilled in every part of the body, that one shot is released. It takes but one instant, yet it perpetuates a tradition of nobility deeply rooted in history, and an ironclad resolve to improve the values of a discipline driven by passion and bound for perfection.
Guest with us today, season 2 white jacket holder S. Luke Dinely Esquire.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you very much for joining.
Thrilled to be here in a seat that was once sat by the legend Mickey Martini Manmartin.
There we go. As we get into our first podcast of the season, obviously the day before the august date of the Twinsy. Which I know everyone is excited for. I know I am, as is my wife. Gentlemen, you know, we've been talking about doing a pod here only for about a week. We met for beers last week, and I think we were quite drunk at the time. And we said, you know, why don't we try to schedule a pod for early next week? We forgot about it.
Well, and the reason we forgot is because the waitress approached us after our friend Nick Westlake had just left the restaurant, and this is a true story. Informed us that all the servers were talking that Nick Westlake was a hot Jonah Hill.
Yeah, hot Jonah Hill.
Everything from that conversation was out of my head after
that. I forgot about that. But yes, I think hot Jonah Hill, well-fed bum Nick Westlake, did distract us. Anyway, guys, I'm between you know you and me and the lamppost, this last past week I've been thinking, like, does the world need another season of GURF in this post-Pandy-Wandy world, in this post-Trump world? I'm 41 years old, Sam, I believe 42.
You're
S. Luke Dinely is somewhere in his 41s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do we need another season of this? I was at my office desk this morning, and I was on a Zoom call chatting with some prospective clients of mine. I wasn't many people around me at the time, and I decided that I had to break wind. It was at that moment that I very suddenly and very violently shit myself. Now this is true. This is a true story. I was on a Zoom call, so I had to immediately stand up like I had been shot. I turned off the camera, and I had some paper towels from the last time I shit myself at my desk, not 2 weeks previous. No, I'm joking about that, but I had jammed some paper towel down my pants, got to the bathroom, did a bit of a cleanup job. I sat in my own feces for a couple minutes while I finished the call. Went to the bathroom, escaped, went home with a jacket tied around my waist, went into my house. My wife was working at the kitchen table. I ran into the shower. Had a quick shower, assured her that I was merely having an affair and needed to clean the stench of another woman off of me before I went back to the office. Now, I bring up this embarrassing personal foible only because it helped me realize that no, we are not too old. We are not. We have life in us yet, and we will seize the day for another season of GURF, season 8. Yeah. Our best season yet. I can feel it in my bones.
The most dramatic season.
The most dramatic season yet.
So I think your message here is there's depths of depravity we have yet to test.
We have not even begun to debase ourselves. And that's the message that I think we want to instill upon our listening audience before the Twinsy tomorrow. Getting right into things, Luke, you know, you're our guest today. I think you've come with a couple prepared, you know, much like a lawyer, you've done your background work. Prepared some interesting anecdotes and things like that. So why don't we hop right in? What would you like to cover with us today?
Sure. Well, you know, I was thinking about the season to come and the various adventures we're all going to embark on together.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, what would get people excited for another season of Curve beyond the usual, you know, opportunity to hang out with your degenerate friends. And I thought, to give the people a flavor of the season to come, we would go through what I have said, and I welcome input from the esteemed podcast panel, what I have deemed the five most intriguing storylines of the GURF season to come.
Yeah.
What I think are the themes that are the most interesting and as I said, intriguing, that might play themselves out over the next... well, it's fluid, so, you know, 6 to 9 months.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. So the way I thought about going about, I have one dishonorable mention, something that is very much an odd intrigue.
Yes.
Oh.
I have one honorable mention that didn't quite make the top five, okay. And then I have five, which I was proposing we'd go through from five to number one being the most intriguing.
Okay.
So dishonorable mention, and by dishonorable, I do mean that in its natural sense. This is something that I think is not interesting, something that I think should be done away with, something that I think is tiresome, boring, and dull, and really just needs to get out of all of our lives. And I know what people out there are thinking.
Derek Townsend.
No, the Canucks.
Oh, sorry. But neither of those things.
Sorry, DT.
This is so bad. I would not even, I would get rid of this before the Canucks chat. This is how bad this is. And this is... in air quotes, the feud between Baby Duck Reed and the artist formerly known as Sean Mercier.
Like, deserve us.
These are what, the 34th and 42nd placed GURFers. you know, Reed, he doesn't GURF, for one, doesn't play GURF. Number two, he dresses like the paint on the wall in a psych ward.
Yeah.
Number two, he wears toe shoes. Probably. And number three, like, the most interesting thing about this guy was that he get peed on by Cobra. We're done with that. And then the other side of the feud is Mercier, also doesn't GURF, only chimes in on the chat with deeply sincere pleas to play executive courses with the Polish cowboy. And, I mean, he's a bunt. The guy's a bunt.
He's a little short.
He's a little short off this.
It's you know, it's sad to see. He's lost a. You know, as we all get older, you know, some of us can adjust. You know, I think of Ernie Els. You know, he adjusted. He got a bit older. Won his majors late in his career. I just don't see that longevity from Mercier.
He's
lost his step. Not sure he ever had a shorter step. So now he just crawls along.
Yeah, and I mean, Mercier's not the type that's going to. Attack the game with a cerebral focus.
No.
I don't think so. So, to me, this feud's got to go.
How is he going to get around the course if he can't be cerebral and he's short? What's he bringing?
But the point is, we don't even need to consider that because this feud, in my view, is the least interesting storyline of the year. The potential or probable self-immolation of Ace Holloway.
Ooh.
Now, I would never propose a popularity poll in GURF. Quite frankly, I don't need those results in my fucking... I don't need that, man. But, let's be honest, the Ace man gotta be high, high in the liking rankings. He's a fucking delight.
Yeah, he's not in the Chef Cobra, or Cobra Chef kind of echelon,
well,
but he might be...
Chris O'Connor, Cobra...
If you remove the tireless self-promotion of Cobra Chef Big Bopper, he might drop a bit in the rankings.
No. I think you misunderstand the love for him.
Well, anyway. He could end up being the GM of Guapos and dating an 18-year-old waitress. That could happen before we even go on his...
It's chaos theory.
You know, it's
we need Jeff Goldblum here to explain... Yeah. All the ways that
there is a lot of sine and cosine in this.
Exactly.
Is
exactly.
And I'm always looking for the next ex, Mrs. Malcolm.
Excellent.
Actually, Goldblum is a good Goldblum in Jurassic Park. Good comp for that.
He kind of looks like
him. Yeah, yeah. And a T Rex.
High praise.
Yeah, ethnically
ambiguous.
That's the nicest thing I've ever said. One.
We're being very nice. Another thing about Goldblum is like Holloway could fake his own death, which Jeff Goldblum did. I think that's not out of the question.
This is why it's an honorable mention because it's a short fuse.
Yeah.
But think about the intrigue. There's a million possibilities.
So. I think if these were on the board at Vegas, I'd be betting on faking this.
Not to mention, best man, Chris O'Connor.
Oh wow!
Doing the yeoman's work, you know. And
when you have a best man that knows you that well, and that just, you know, you hang out with every day, and just so intimate.
They grew up together,
and you just know that there's secrets upon secrets and layers upon layers. I mean, how
deep?
What
trust
could these two come up with?
Yeah, see, here's the thing about Holloway too. It's like I never know whether he's actually telling me the truth or if the lies are the truth. Because like, so there's the theory that Holloway would tell his wife that he was going to the gym when actually he'd just drive to like Pizza Hut or Panago, order a large pizza, sit in his car for the amount of time it would take him to go to the gym and eat a large pizza. But then when I asked him about that, which seems like a fully believable story, he said that was untrue. So is he lying?
No.
Or is the story about him a lie? I don't know.
I don't want to get into the weeds on this because it's one of his greatest qualities. But he exists in a post-truth world.
Yeah, exactly. It's up is down, left is right.
There is no up, and there is no down.
It's chaos.
It's chaos, baby. Yeah.
Okay, let's go on.
Chaos,
all right.
Chaos reigns.
So those are our honorable and dishonorable mentions. So what I've tabbed as number five. So this is the top. Now we have entered.
Okay.
The top five most intriguing storylines of the GURPS.
I'm intrigued.
Just want to note something here. I want to put in the chimes.
Yeah.
Let's give it.
So number five, ripped from the headlines, Dick Wolf Law and Order style. Boom, boom, boom. GURF indictment watch.
Oh.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of possibilities for an indictment coming GURPS way. A lot. Number one, which we don't apparently speak of anymore. Do you guys remember GURF Fund?
Yeah, yeah.
Where apparently we all donated money that was invested somewhere. What happened to that? I don't know. Seems rather improper.
Well,
I mean, I'm just a simple country space chicken. I don't know what is what with law, but I got some questions about the GURF fund and what happened with that. They have not been answered. Maybe the police will have some. I mean, who knows?
It's a fluid situation, I think, with the GURF fund. And
does it still exist?
You know, I'm sure it does somewhere in some sense. The
reporting hasn't been great.
The reporting has not been terrific. The Sam Bankman Fried of GURF.
Oh, we'll get there.
Graham Morrison. you know, he likes to keep some loose books. So, I mean, look,
his books are great.
Could we be cleaned out? Possibly. Could we be a part of the West Fraser legacy and Hank Ketchum's will? Also a possibility. We can't say, I'm not willing to rule anything out with GMO. He is a hustler and a mover and a shaker. And I do believe that that he will make good on any of the promise that the GURF fund at one point may have had at the peak of the market during COVID. Now, whether that's a party fund or, I don't know, paying for GURF podcasters to have wine and oysters at Forte.
I don't know. I am not a prosecutor.
Right.
I'm not putting these indictments forward. I'm just a simple, legally trained podcaster giving some views on what may lead to indictments within GURF. Because I think, you know, it's a matter of time. So that's one. You know, I would also suggest, you know, there's a couple of guys in GURF whose practices in the markets
are you saying GURF coin?
Brody Dunlop!
are you saying GURF coin might actually be an unregistered security?
Yes, well, I mean, we got guys like Brody, we got guys like Fisher, we got Tony Insider trading all over the goddamn place. I just say
think Tony's money's locked up in Russia.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah, there's cummies, like God knows what's going on. So that's another one. Then there's I mean, the charitable donation issue with this off the books Christmas fundraising dinner. Where
That's above board, baby.
But from my understanding, you're plied with caviar and cocaine, and then strong armed into giving money to charities of questionable origin. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. Who can say?
Duke,
you should have John West.
You are asking some questions that I don't think we want to know the answers.
I will say this, as a podcaster, I think we may have let our listeners down when we let a person like GMO and John West come on the show and we didn't prod them with these questions. I didn't do you guys a service by not asking.
And we're just getting started.
Important questions.
Let's not forget about GERF coin.
GERF coin,
from my understanding,
it's an unregistered security.
Not an unregistered. I don't think it's an unregistered security. I think Matt Martin just literally took $4,000 from everyone at GERF and kept it.
It's a fraud.
Mean, yes,
it's a fraud. So my understanding is that we do own a partial holding in his house on the Sunshine Coast.
Okay, great. I mean, I haven't seen any record of that. I mean, and I'm not worried about GERF.
Financial reporting has not been good.
GERF is very successful, but like, what is he doing with joke groups 1 to 5? What if there's more joke groups than 1 to 5 and he's defrauded all of them too?
Do you believe that there could be some sort of fraud going on in joke groups that we don't even know? There is no tracking.
It's an island nation of criminals.
Right.
Let's not forget that.
Very true. These are important questions, Sam.
So wait, is it your...
Look, this is just indictment watch, baby. I'm just putting out potential indictments.
Okay. So you kind of assume that there might be more joke groups?
I mean, if you're running hot scams like that, why would you put all the joke groups together?
Especially with AI, the Nigerian scams with AI. Yeah.
And then you got the inevitable drug bust or vehicular homicide coming home from the course.
Yeah.
I mean, and then there's Joey's entire existence. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to stereotype. But there's only one guy in GERF, I believe, that is on bar watch for, as I understand it, biting a bouncer with his teeth.
Who's that?
Joey.
Alexis?
Yes.
Biting a bouncer. That doesn't sound like very heroic activity.
Look, I'm just saying, I think it's intriguing. I think it should bear watching. Rip from the headlines.
Yeah.
Indictments. Number 4, I feel, I find it an intriguing storyline. But it's, in my mind, it's a bit tragic. It's a bit sad.
Oh.
Many, I think, would say that the heart and soul of GERF is the mentor-pledge relationship.
Oh, yeah?
It's what, there's 46 people in the league. It started with how many, Josh?
18.
That's 30 plus, or
18.
So roughly 30 people that have been brought into this beautiful group of psychopathic weirdos.
Yeah.
They've been nurtured. They've been taught the rules. Remember your first GERF round?
Yes.
I mean, what a fucking experience, right?
Yeah.
And look back at other guys' first GERF round that are in GERF, where you can see their eyes being like, what?
Yeah.
Sam you Kurtz. Guys do this?
Yeah. Sam Kersey.
He'd never golfed before.
He was very excited.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's, I personally think, the mentor-pledge relationship, nurturing someone into the fold of GERF is quite a beautiful thing.
Right,
and this year, for the first time, there are no pledges.
Yeah.
There are no pledges. So the year of no pledges, the end of the pledge, I find that a very intriguing
story. Yeah, we built the wall.
Yeah. So what is that going to mean for GERF without pledges, without little rookie bitches? I mean, there's a few questions to be asked about that. Number one, is last year's class the worst pledge class in history?
Yes.
Is that the reason that we don't have any pledges anymore? And like, let's look at some of these clowns. There's Arge. I mean, he's the only guy ever to have a worse off season than GERF season. And let me tell you, you look at his GERF season last year, it was a fucking embarrassment. And his off season was worse.
Hey, Arge.
Hell of a gambler, though. Hell of a gambler. Loves to take
bets. Get your rounds in. I will defend Arjun till the cows come home. But guy needs to get his rounds. Okay, he has no excuses.
Terrible pledge. Murda Rollins. I don't know who that is.
Sad.
Is anyone?
I do. I do. And it was a sad performance.
Paul Aspinall. I mean, Jake Busey.
He came out strong.
Jake Busey, Eric Trump, Nepo baby, beat it. Goodbye.
Yep.
Mullins, rookie of the year. I mean, look, Murda wasn't his mentor, but let's just say they are keeping each other in GERF. But the interest level, pretty low. And I don't know who the rest of them are, but they fucking suck. So they ruined the pledge for us, which I mean, I don't care for it. And I think it's going to be a real question this year. Will GERF function without, you know, the mentor-pledge relationship? Yeah, the dynamic driving it forward, the new people with their eyes open to GERF on the course. Will it work? I don't know.
I have personally no problem with the commissioner's ultimate decision to not expand at the same rate that we have in the past. I think, you know, we need to consolidate. We need to have solid contributors. You know, this is the last season where it will be an open season. There's going to be a tiered level of competition at the end of this year. So to the people who don't care as much, maybe they're just here a bit of driftwood to have some fun and to play a couple of rounds, that's fine. But you're going to be part of the second tier, as well as people that just suck at golf.
But the only point I would make to that is, those driftwoods, that's an indictment of the mentor.
I don't disagree with that.
So I think people need to do some self-reflecting, because it makes me sad that we're losing. Losing nurturing relationships like Dog and JoJo. I mean, Dog really loves Joe. Like, he supports him in everything he does.
I do too.
He back channels me whenever I'm deeply annoyed by Joey. Yeah. I mean, Dog is he brings this guy up. I mean, you got guys like Mercier and the Polish Cowboy. They share half a brain. It's kept on ice in Abbotsford, and each one of them gets access to it once a week. Yeah. You know, I that's remarkable. You know, we got Westlake and Westlake.
Yeah.
What a
few. Incredible. Half a penis, and they're...
You know, odd thing about that...
They beat each other up on the course.
I think Tim was my pledge, not Nick's pledge.
And then I always have a soft spot for the old Urine twins. You know, Cobra. So, look, I understand the reasoning behind the no pledges, but I feel we've lost something pure.
It's true. You know? You're right. You're right. There's something sort of poetic and Shakespearean about what's happening. And, you know... We won't know what we've lost until it's gone.
The pledge mentor relationship doesn't stop after the first season.
No.
So are those mentors and those pledges, now that there are no new pledges, are they going to commit to redoubling their efforts to bring these junior GERFers further along? Right. And will we see one of these unheralded early stage GERFers win a jacket?
I would just say one thing. I'm sorry this is a cliche, but like this is the same as so many other things where the more you put in, the more you can get out.
Yep.
And it's like, I just hope that these pledges who don't exist try harder.
I like it. All right, let's move
on. Okay, number three, which I think dovetails well with what we're just talking about.
Oh, no, we did it. We did the pledge.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Relegation. Yes. This was the big news, right? When the first email went out from the commission, as he then was, Graham Morrison.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big news.
So how does this work?
Well, first, doesn't that seem like a long time ago? Yeah. You know, when we were all buzzing about relegation before Babs's disgusting behavior took down the season.
Just filthy.
And then Modi shut down the GERF fund in some sort of backhanded diplomatic swipe at Canada.
Shameful
by Modi. Indian nationalism, it's not to my taste. Modi. But, I mean, relegation, guys. At the end of this year, we're splitting the league in half.
Mm-hmm.
And half of those guys are going to I don't know, the other league?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's organizing that? Is there going to be a different commission? I don't know. I mean, I think this is a under-talked about storyline, but guys, like, this isn't, I just missed the playoffs because my wife got pregnant and I couldn't play a lot of rounds. It's, I just missed the playoffs and now I have to play in Abbotsford on a Muni course with the Polish Cowboy.
Yeah.
Not a good time! I'm assuming this is the result of the Prince Harry disciple that's our current champ. Is a British thing.
Right, yes, right? Yes.
And not to get too inside podcasting here, but I have written in my notes here in accent vamping.
Yeah, yes.
What is accent vamping?
Wait, Jake Gase, I just do accents.
Action.
Oh, I don't know about relegation. I love Prince Harry. What shall I do? I'm so drunk. Yeah, oh, no. Rob Ayers.
I do think that this is going to result in the most action-packed season of GERF yet, because it should. If it's not, then it's a broken system. The whole thing needs to burn. Anyway, but Sam, like,
can we understand how this works? I don't.
Okay, so I went back last night and I went back through that email. Yeah. And I made some notes. So here's how it works. This year proceeds as normal.
Yes.
Playoffs are normal. But then, next year, the people that are underneath the top 28, everyone that doesn't make the lofts, not just everyone that doesn't make the lofts, so you have the 24 that make the lofts and the four captain's picks.
Yeah.
If you're not a captain's pick, captain's picks doesn't matter. If you're not in the top 28 at the end of the season,
That's too many.
It's not. 28 make the top tier. Mm-hmm. 26 make the are gone. You're in a different league. Mm-hmm. So you could be a captain's pick, play in the playoffs, win a key match. The next year, relegated.
Good.
If you're not in the top 28.
Good.
So will this ruin the inclusivity?
I know, but let me ask you a question. So what does that mean, right? So these 28, whatever the number is, they are, we make the playoffs this year. I expect that I will. I picked Scottie Scheffler. I'm already on a roll. but let's assume that happens and we just fast forward to next year. What does that mean? Does that mean that I can just sit on my couch all year until the playoffs? And then the following year I end up in the relegation
zone? That's my question too. I think so. I think if you, based on the rules as I read them, if you are in the top tier after this year, you are only the bottom four compete for relegation, right?
So I automatically make next year's playoffs,
the playoffs are cut down. Only 24 people make the following year's playoffs. Okay. So the bottom four have to play match play against the top four for relegation.
Okay.
So as long as you finish in the top 24, you remain in the top league. Mm. But the bottom four of those 28 have to compete with the top four of the bottom two.
Yeah.
So what I actually think is the play, if you know you're not going to play much Gerv, get dropped. The next year, I think one round will put you in the top four because the rest of those plebs aren't doing anything. And then you just rinse some plug like Reed in the playoffs.
And then you get picked.
Yeah.
I am personally thinking about self-immolating, as you so eloquently put it. And I don't see myself winning Gerv, but I think I could win the second tier.
But there is nothing for winning the
second tier. Well, Gmo will come up with some sort of bone jacket or,
the bone?
The Garf scarf.
The Garf scarf for something like that.
Bone?
I would like to win something.
I'm just saying, I don't watch football, as they call it.
Yes.
I don't really understand relegation, but I can guarantee you that Gmo and the leadership committee, they don't understand it either. Rules are up in the air. There's going to be relegation. And my biggest concern is this going to impact Gmo's run for the Nobel Peace Prize for Garf?
I think at the best case situation, I think what we can all hope for is that this could end some friendships, cause some fights. We're all gonna try to fuck each other's wives a little bit, but if we could possibly see some tilts on the greens and things like that about people on the very last, that's what I want to see at the end of the season. I want to see some heart from the people who actually want to be in them. I was joking, obviously. Of course, I want to be in the top thing, but this will lead to the end of the season being meaningful for more people who are outside of the top four or five.
That's a good point.
It will make everything more exciting, I think.
So that's what I want to interrogate a little bit. So I agree that it will make people drive harder to make those 28 top spots. But what about next year? If you're just in the Bush League, are you just going to give up? I don't know. Hey, I don't think so. I think I would think if I got dropped, I would dedicate myself to my craft to move back up.
Yeah.
But, I question some...
Duke, at the end of the day, this is a golf league. Everyone really wants to play as much golf as possible. You can GURF and you can have more fun because you can score better scores.
And
shoot in the 70s when you actually shot in the 90s and get with your friends. So, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for anyone. And I see nothing but a positive.
I don't think it's bad. I just think it's intriguing.
No,
I think there's a lot of questions. And here's a question. If you're relegated, can you play with the big boys?
Yep.
You only have to play with the
big boys. No, you can. We don't even have to commission on the phone. I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. It's intriguing, guys. What's going to happen? What's it going to do? Are we stratifying?
I'm just a little worried that,
Don't forget an important variable. Hard to get on the course unless you're a member of some swanky private club. Are we just 1% in girth?
I think
this is nonsense. No,
I think that's the goal. May I speak as a private club member? That's the goal.
The idea.
He said it. He admitted.
I'm just of the mind that So, are we saying that a person who's in the lower level can't Wingerf?
That's 100% true. Person on the low level can have the most points of anyone in GURF. All they get is a chance to play the bottom four in the top league.
I think that's got to change.
I think so too.
There's got to be something else. There's got to be kind of parallel things going on where if the person who's in the lower level, say it's a pledge, once we start pledges again, or say it's somebody who just goes buck wild, if they have a heater and they score 600 points, 600 points, whatever it is, if they get to the top, they've got to be able to compete.
But they can't, based on the rules. Or how about this? If you're in the lower tier, are you able to challenge GURFers in the upper tier? Doesn't that fuck up the whole system?
There's an issue of, like, incentives there, right?
Yeah. Like, because we're still in March here for another 24 hours or 12 hours or whatever. 8 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours?
7 hours.
7 hours. What do they do? Don't they do with the NIA play-in tournament or something like that? Maybe there could be some sort of play-in option. For the playoffs or something like that
to
get into a captain's pick position for the bottom tier. Anyway, we don't have to go through this all right now.
Commissioner, Lord,
and praise be upon him, will come up with all kinds of ideas.
All I'm saying is getting into the thing in March Madness is different because then you can just win because it's match play in March Madness.
Right.
In GURF, it's accumulating points over the course of the season. I'm saying that somebody who's in the lower league
could win the whole league.
Could win the whole league.
They don't win the league
because they don't get enough. Pardon me. They don't get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. All they get the opportunity to do is join the other league
if they win match.
No, I think that's. But I think that's fair.
What?
No, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I disagree. I like it.
Wow. I don't know.
I like it.
So I'm opposed to that.
I know for a fact. Before Josh Gay started going out for dinners with Darren Cannon and the Million Dollar Club, you would not have supported this. I can tell you that.
I'm just of the mind that, like, look, you don't play golf against the guy you're playing against. You play against the course. And if somebody puts up 3,000 GURF points, they should fucking be in the playoff to get the white jacket. I actually preferred it before, the way it was when it was, like, the Premier League, where you didn't even have to compete.
All I'm saying is I think this is an intriguing development.
It is. It's an intriguing story.
Conversations will continue.
I think it will. Thank you very much. Let's go on to the next one here.
Gaze wants to keep this moving.
Got
to
keep it going.
Can we pause for a second?
Sure.
I got to take this.
Me too.
I'm really like half an hour in. You should guys do this for 49 hours.
All right. Here we go. So we're now entering the top two of Luke Dinely's top storylines of GURF.
All right. Now, number two, and previously, you know, when I first was considering the season, this would have been number one, but there's been some fairly fundamental, massive sea changes in the last week or so. But number two is this the year. Is this the year?
I'm going to stop right there. Is this Graham Morrison's year?
The year.
Let's get into it.
1967, the Leafs won the Cup.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
We, the fans of the Leafs, real sports fans, not cowardly little chat bitches, we wait and we suffer. I'm also a Bills fan. We wait and we suffer. The most consummate podcast to us, a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
Waits. And suffers. Not the Canucks. They win the President's Cup and jerk each other off. Rory McIlroy at Augusta. Is this the year? Is he going to put it together?
What do you think?
I think he might. He might be my pick.
Yeah, it's my pick for the year. I'm going out on a limb right now. Graham Morrison.
But now the truest thing we've all been waiting for, the only thing that keeps GURF alive, the only reason every year we get that email. Garambe's quest for the white jacket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this the year? Is it coming home? I think, to me, every year, that is one of the most, that is always to me the most fascinating subplot of GURF. And a little bit of history for some of those people who may not know. It's a rainy, dark October day. It's the Lofts. GURF's first season. Garambe. On 18.
Heavily favored.
Heavily favored with a chance to win. on 18, perfect drive, edge of the hazard.
Yeah.
Looks at that green.
Oh, it's a.
If he gets on that green, three putt to win.
Yeah, done.
Easy.
Done.
Looks at the crowd that's gathered around him because he's the last group.
Absolutely.
Easy seven iron, boys. Kerplunk.
Yeah.
wait. Drops a ball. Because, you know, if he hits it on and holes, he could probably still win. Okay, a little harder, seven iron, guys. Hits the rocks in front of the green. Kerplunk.
Declined.
That's as close as he's gotten the first year. And since then, it has consumed the great ape. Yeah. The great, beautiful ape that is Garambe. Every year, you know, and every decision that's been made in GURF, every rule change, every fluidity decision, it has been in the pursuit of Graham Morrison's quest for the white jacket on his back.
It's true. Yeah.
So, let's be honest. If he wins, there will be no more GURF.
No.
He ain't running this shit if he gets a jacket. And I find that amazing. If he wins, it will be the end. But what Josh. But what an end. Their courage hangs by a thread.
Yeah.
If this is to be our end, I would make it such an end as to be worthy of remembrance. Hail Field and King!
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it's poetic. I can see it happening. Garambe,
the charge of the Jordan!
You know, Garambe sinking a putt on 18 and immediately calling Pakistan and blowing the entire website up.
It's Tolkien, man. There's a Jordan charging down to end the field.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, my God. I hope it happens. I would go out like that. Yeah. I would go out.
A Putin-esque end to the world. If I can't win every year, then no one will win as well.
It's just...
absolutely.
It's just...
It's a little different, though. He's saying that guys, if he does win...
I know.
It will be the end.
I'm drunk.
But such an end.
It was such an end. I do believe if I was, and we can bet as much as we want here, Sam. I will put. Can you give me some odds on the top off the top of your head?
What do
you think for?
Wait, Jimo, give me winning GURF next year
for winning GURF this.
Oh, winning
this
GURF. He's got to be higher than 10-1. I'd say 15-1.
Okay, $50. 15-1. Will you take the odds? There we go.
Hot.
Like it.
Fluent. I mean, to me, I think GURF, it's a beautiful thing, but all beautiful things must end. That's why they're beautiful.
Absolutely.
No, that's not true.
And that's...
The ephemerality of GURF is what gives
that's just not true.
Beauty,
yeah.
If it becomes forever. Institutional, it
if you're saying that the sun will at some point eat the earth because of its size, then yes, you're right. GURF will end. But GURF will not end... Because GMO says so.
But is
GURF will not end because you weak-minded people seem to think that GURF will end when your leader decides to go on to
Dear
his
leader.
Next fucking project with his billionaire wife. I will say this. GURF will continue. Paul Joyce has this ship.
Don't step
running.
On my next storyline here. But, I mean, I think... It's just fair to say, all of this adds to the intrigue.
There's so much intrigue. I think there's a bunch of storylines. We haven't even gotten to the betting yet. I don't think we're going to get to betting this episode. You know, it's one of these things where I think we need to see some other people throwing down some big money bets. I want to see Dogman and Marto out there with a $500, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 bet. You know, there needs to be some action out there.
I think that dovetails excellent into the number one storyline of
Oh, please hit me.
Meet the new boss, and it ain't the fucking old boss. We got a new commish. Mr. Paul Joyce. And look, don't get me wrong. I have been on a years-long campaign for Graham Morrison to win the Nobel Prize for GURF. I am a pro Graham Morrison guy. All right? Everyone knows that. But people have been saying it. I haven't been saying it, but people, lots of people, they've been saying it. If there was a living, breathing commissioner in this league, things would get done. Look, this is not what I'm saying, it's just people are saying it. And look, we were really close to losing it all. Garambe, God love him, he's a bit particular.
Yeah.
And that cocksucker Babs punched him right in the man zone.
Yeah.
And ruined Gurf. And then Sanjay came over the top and did an elbow drop on the man zone. Yeah. You know, we were on a hair's. We are razor's edge, guys. Yeah. We are razor's edge. One week ago, guys.
One Pecora.
This is last week. This is last week. We were almost done. And then, God bless Paul Joyce, the new commish, for saving us all and for saving this beautiful thing called GURF.
Yeah.
I think it's an absolute testament. It's beautiful. It's a testament to the magnitude of Paul, who I know very well. He's going to be a perfect commish. And I think we don't know what's going to happen. Like, what is going to happen with the league with this new guy in charge? He's a man of mystery. I mean, other than me, who I'm quite close with him. Has anyone met him? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
He's a real person, right?
Yeah, to give you a little bit of background, he grew up in a little town outside of Thunder Bay.
Thunder Bay,
Ontario.
Is this an indigenous man?
No, he's not indigenous. He came to golf late. Didn't start playing until he was about 14, but really took to it.
He played on the
Central American Tour, but you know, never really cracked it. Was top four in the Panama City Invitational in 2011. You know, pretty good placing, but unfortunately was back in Vancouver in the offseason and broke his back in a random Pilates accident.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a hazard. It's a hazard. And has since rehabbed himself. He's 3 inches shorter than he was pre-Pilates accident. And his finish in his golf swing, very low. But, I mean, the man is passionate about golf. And he's transferred that passion to GURF. And I think it's expressed by the fact that he's not even a pledge. He's not even going to GURF. He's just going to help us and lead us.
Duke.
You know? It's beautiful.
Can I just interject? Just listening to this, it seems highly improbable that what you're telling me is true.
Oh, well, look, has anyone ever lied on a podcast? I mean, look, I've had witnesses lie to me under oath, but I've never heard a lie on a podcast.
You listen to a lot of podcasts.
But I mean, hey, like, what is the new commission going to bring? Will he embrace fluidity?
Fire, passion. I think it's a.
Is he gonna allow things like Vaseline Gate?
Yeah.
Two man vacay rounds.
Two man vacay rounds.
Canal 700 pointers. What's gonna happen?
Why don't we right now, sort of voice our opinions on what we think the new commission should, you know, approve or disapprove of?
I think that's a great idea.
I would think that it's a pretty simple thing. So, you know, when you are doing pro picks, you get double points for majors.
Right.
I think that it should be the same in GURF. Right. If you're in the twinsie, that should be double points. If you're in the hibby, you should get double points.
For a major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will get more people out. And it will, like, again, talking back to this issue of bifurcation in GURF, it will force the people who don't want to be in GURF to, like, maybe scratch their head and be like, oh, shit, I got to show up for this because I'm going to get double my points. Whatever, right? So I think double points in majors should happen actually in the physical GURF,
that's why I think this is the number one story of the year. Everything is on the table. You know, Paul is an innovative disruptor. He's going to listen to all ideas and he's going to push the league forward. He's not driven by the need for validation the way Gmo is.
Is he after the gay money, though?
Oh, maybe. But I mean, look, let's get some gay money in.
Yeah. Nardo's got a whole bunch of money.
So, I mean, I think it's fascinating. I think Joshua, that your gambling proposal, I think you should air that to Paul and air that to the group.
So, Paul, here, if you are listening, I know you are. I mean, I know you have
fucking better be listening. Of course, guys, this podcast, right? He's the commissioner.
Of course, Paul Joyce, the commissioner, is listening.
So, this is an idea. This is one of the things that we socialize when we get into our pre-podcast production meetings, which...
A lot of prep.
Which, you know, involve a lot of prep. Is that how we can improve and incentivize fellowship and brotherhood and development and various other grooming activities. And I think one of the things that we would like to see is more big money bets, as I've said previously. So, in that vein, Paul, listen, what about having some sort of a bonus awarded to players who are so invigorated by the spirit of GURF that they would want to bet over $500 a round or something like that, I mean, whatever the number is. If you're stupid enough to bet on a 1v1 challenge, say Sam Kerr versus Josh Gaze, $500, you know, I think if it's a challenge, you should have double the points or something like that as well. There should be some sort of bonus.
The one bit of pushback against that I would do, just like lawyerly, yep. There's an issue of wash trading where it's like I do 500 bet with you, you do 500 bet with me. So I think that if we were,
if we were to do this,
it would have to be a what? DT1, right? So like let's actually build some laws that make sense. I think that like if you're gonna go 500 bucks means double points. I think it should be one time per year.
Okay, I don't have.
It can't be the case that people who are willing to bet $500 and lose it
right
every year, and they're not losing it to GURF. They're losing it to their opponent.
No, but that's enough. That's enough of a. That is enough of a win. That hurts. There is no fucking YOLO dudes in GURF enough where to say like, yeah, wow. I can fucking
speak for yourself, John.
I mean,
okay, dude, sure.
Not me. No, not me. Garambe.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no consequences for Garambe.
Chimo is definitely going to...
Well, Garambe will bet, but I guarantee that money is
fucking
Garambe's.
Greg Perry will do it at the end of the year.
Didn't Garambe lose $10,000 to Dunks at Crib?
But Dunks is retarded. So it's like, you're like betting with a retarded person is not... He should make those types of bets.
Anyway, the point is...
The law of the trajectory of history is upward pointing. The trajectory of beating Dunks and everything in life is upward pointing.
You're missing the point that, like...
People, I generally do.
People like Greg Perry are more important... Like, they think winning GURF is far more important than... $1,000, $2,000, $3,000.
I disagree.
You think he's cheap.
Greg is the biggest Jew in Hollywood. And winning GURF is a financial decision for Greg Perry. A financial desire, not a desire.
Greg is the greatest GURFer of all time because it's a status thing. He is that.
He's the Jack Nicklaus of GURF. I agree.
Don't you start.
Okay, I'm just going to circle back.
All right, so who's the Tiger Woods?
I'm just going to circle back.
Who's the Tiger Woods? Nick Westlake.
The champ. I just want to circle back to say, if you have ideas similar to Josh's, send them to paul.joyce, that's J-O-Y-C-E, @colliers.com, and he will answer them. And I think Paul's reign of hopefully terror is the most intriguing development of the season, and I can't wait to see what happens. And those are my top five, guys.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah. So what do you think, guys? Should we just chat for a minute, or are we done?
Well, no. I think we should... We have the Twinsie tomorrow. Sam, I know you're going to have a long night of production. This takes you hours and hours on end to get the production just right. The Twinsie is tomorrow. Luke and I are partners. Your partner Sam, with the commish,
former,
the previous commissioner Graham Morrison,
former.
I mean, listen, I think I haven't swung a golf club since the playoffs last year. I don't believe.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. I just haven't, and I feel dangerous as fuck, and I'm gonna be coming in there hot from fucking various other kids' activities and other horse shit. I'm gonna get very drunk, and I'm gonna get pretty high, and I'm gonna have a great time. I think it's always a great launch to the season, the Twinsie. Do you think, Sam, I mean, do you have a favorite going in? Have you talked to anyone? Have you got your eyes on anyone? Or are you going to let see where the cards line up where they may, or you drop them and all that horseshit?
I got a favorite.
Yeah, okay, let's hear it. Nothing comes to mind, but go ahead.
The unit. Nothing sharpens desire like fatherhood.
That's true.
You know, he's coming into GURF season with a kid. He's gonna be just squeezing the lemon on every GURF round.
Who's his partner?
It doesn't matter. Well, I think the unit.
Probably Joe.
I think the unit. Yeah, yeah. No, Joe's not playing, so I'm not sure who the unit's with, but he's playing tomorrow. But I think the unit is a real.
Reminding your boy Ace Holloway.
It's a real. No, Ace Holloway's not playing either. I think the unit is a real guy to this year.
Who's Brody playing with? Is Bros playing?
I don't know. He's probably playing the market.
We should probably have looked at this. People. But anyway, regardless, I think, you know, if you're listening to this before the Twins eat, good luck. It's going to be a bit, it might be a little muddy out there tomorrow. Might be a little chilly.
No, no,
but,
no.
But it's a great way to start
the most
season.
Part of the rain is over. It's there happened already.
I just want to say.
The greens are soft.
I just want to say, guys, I'm really, really thankful you had me on. I'm really, really happy Gurf is back. And, you know, God bless Gurf.
Here we go.
God bless Gurf.
I agree. God bless Gurf.
Hey. Cheers.
Are we done?
I think that was a yell at.